From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. PISA 2022 shows that Indonesian literacy learning results have risen in rank. Manpower Ministry holds ASEAN-level conference on labor inspection. I'm Duga Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology stated that the ranking of Indonesia's literacy learning outcomes in the 2022 International Students Assessment Program, or PISA, increased by 5 to 6 position compared to 2018, making this increase the highest achievement. Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology Nadiem Anwar Makarim said on Tuesday that this increase in ranking shows the resilience of the Indonesian education system in overcoming learning loss due to the pandemic. He also remarked that his side is carrying out various programs to reduce learning loss.
Yang pertama adalah pemberian akses daring yang sangat signifikan. Seperti yang mungkin Bapak Ibu semua tahu, kita melakukan bantuan kuota salah satu yang terbesar.
The first one is granting access is very significant. We are providing one of the largest quota assistance ever provided by the country to 25 million students and 1.7 million teachers so that they can still access materials and carry out online learning. So it is a form of initiative which is based on our survey. It is the most effective in helping continuity in the learning process during long distance or online learning. The second point is teacher training. We carried out various kinds of online training platforms, which are attended by almost 800,000 teachers throughout Indonesia to make the transition and know how to teach during the online learning and what lessons permutations should be carried out.
Dilakukan dan lain-lain. Dan dari sisi materi pelajaran pembelajaran pun kami menyediakan banyak sekali materi ya untuk membantu guru melakukan pembelajaran daring.
Minister Nadiem Makarim added that his side has also provided a lot of learning materials to help teachers carry out online learning. Indonesia's ranking in PISA 2022 for reading and mathematics literacy rose 5 position compared to before, while for scientific literacy it rose 6 position. PISA is held every 3 years by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development to measure reading, mathematics, and science literacy in 15-year-old students. The Ministry of Manpower is holding the 12th ASEAN Labor Inspection Conference in Bali from 5th until 7th of December 2023. Secretary General of the Ministry of Manpower, Anwar Sanusi, in his speech said the forum can realize ASEAN's commitment to provide protection for migrant workers through labor inspection.
With regard to this, today we gather in Bali to realize ASEAN commitment to provide protection for migrant workers through labor protection. This conference will be focused on the discussion related to policies, implementation of labor standards and oversight challenge in protecting and promoting migrant workers' rights.
Anwar Sanusi Father said that monitoring the whereabouts of migrant workers is important considering that 4.7% of global workers, or around 160 million migrants, come from the ASEAN region. The conference with the theme Employment Protection of Migrant Workers Through Labor Inspection was attended by representatives of member countries ASEAN, ASEAN Secretariat, ASEAN Trade Union Council, ASEAN Confederation of Employers, International for Migrants, International Association of Labor Inspection, and International Labor Organization. Director for Education and Skills at the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, Andreas Schleichers, on Tuesday praised the resilience of Indonesia's education system, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. As shown on the Ministry of Education YouTube account, Culture, Research and Technology, when releasing the results of the 2022 International Students Assessment Program, or PISA, regarding Indonesia's literacy ranking, Andreas Schleicher said that over the last few years, it had been a very difficult time. However, Indonesian students have generally succeeded in maintaining the quality of their learning outcomes in their PISA scores.
I also should commend Indonesian teachers. Students in Indonesia reported one of the highest levels of support from their teachers during the pandemic. Again, that is so important. Technology will never be a substitute for the attention and care of a teacher, since learning is not a transactional business, but always a social, a relational experience. And again, I know how much importance the Merdeka reforms place on exactly that.
Andreas also expressed his optimism for the independent learning movement. The Freedom to Learn movement, initiated by the Ministry of Education and Culture, has put Indonesia in the right direction towards improving the quality of education. Indonesia and Malaysia recorded a trade value worth $30 million in 2022. This was stated by Malaysian Ambassador to Indonesia, Sheikh Muhammad Hasrin Tengku Husin, in his remarks at the media gathering held by the Malaysian Embassy in Jakarta on Tuesday. Economic cooperation is also good. Last year, $30 million for total trade, which is a big figure. In terms of investment, Malaysia is the fifth largest in Indonesia. Indonesian investment in Malaysia is small, and this is also one of our tasks to attract Indonesian investment to Malaysia. I hope media colleagues can help. Ambassador Muhammad Hasrin Father stated that media is one of the important things for the Malaysian embassy so that cooperation can be established better in the future. Meanwhile, from the tourism sector, visits by Indonesian people to Malaysia in 2022 reached 1.2 million and visits by Malaysian people to Indonesia reached 1.4 million. It is hoped that in 2023, the number of Indonesian visits to Malaysia will reach 4 million visits. Indonesia is currently investing efforts to develop a sustainable coconut industry aiming to improve farmers' welfare and preserve the environment. This was stated by Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan in a statement in his opening speech at the International Coconut Community Ministerial Meeting in Bandar Lampung, Lampung Province on Tuesday. He further highlighted that the government is aiming to succeed in developing the industry by paying attention to both the downstream and upstream sectors, while noting that almost every part of coconut trees provides benefits. Minister Hasan also encouraged coconut farmers to have the capacity to mitigate the impact of climate change that can affect both the quantity and quality of coconut production. The National Arms Agency Basnas is working hand-in-hand with Egyptian Mr. Al-Khair Foundation to deliver humanitarian aid for Palestine via the Rafah Gate, Egypt, by using 12 container trucks. In a statement received in Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian Deputy Chief of Mission in Egypt, M. Zaim, explained that the humanitarian assistance comprises packages containing mineral water, packaged juice, nuts, and flour, adding that the aid has been adjusted to the needs of the people in Gaza, Palestine. Intensive cooperation with Egyptian renowned institution, especially Misr Al-Khair, has helped ensure that distribution of the aid is consistent with the quality standards needed in Palestine. Meanwhile, Basnas Deputy for Distribution and Empowerment, Saida Sakwan, extended the agency's gratitude to all people, companies and arms agencies in Indonesia for their active participation in supporting the humanitarian efforts. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that Indonesia is seeking to inspire the world by pursuing its commitment to tackle climate change with the help of blended financing scheme and related policies. Speaking at the 28th sessions of the Conference of the Parties, or COP28, high-level climate change event in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, on Monday, she highlighted that Indonesia has issued the nationally determined contribution document as proof of its commitment to reduce carbon emissions. In a statement received from the Finance Ministry in Jakarta on Tuesday, she also affirmed that Indonesia requires $281 billion to support its efforts to lower carbon emission by 2030. Indonesia has initiated the energy transition mechanism as a form of blended financing to promote the green energy transition, which is aimed at bolstering the role of new and renewable energy while controlling the use of fossil and coal-based energy. Let's move on to the international news, where the Stephanie Dujarric, spokesperson for UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, on Tuesday denied the United States' claim that civilians in Gaza should seek refugees in safe places designated by the UN. Responding to US State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller's suggestions on Monday that Gazans should seek refugees in sites designated by the UN and listed by Israel as deconfliction zones, Stephane Dujarric revealed that there is no such safe zone in Gaza. He also emphasized that Secretary General Antonio Guterres also said there was no safe place in Gaza. There are shelters hoisting the UN flag protecting thousands of people, namely men, women and children, who are trying to stay alive and get food and water. The UN has seen it since the beginning of this conflict, and the places where the UN flag is hoisting are also not safe. Listener, now let's move on to commentary on increasing Indonesian students' literacy for superior human resources.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's commentary is about increasing Indonesian students' literacy for superior human resources. Listeners, results of the program International Student Assessment, or PISA, in 2022 study show that Indonesia's literacy learning outcomes ranking rose 5 to 6 positions compared to PISA 2018. The Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology released the results of the PISA 2022 study on Tuesday. The PISA, initiated by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, is a study to evaluate education systems participated in by more than 70 countries across the globe. Every 3 years, 15-year-old pupils from randomly selected schools take tests in the main subjects of reading, mathematics, and science. The test is diagnostic in nature and is used to provide useful information for improving the education system. Indonesia has participated in the PISA study since 2000. The 2022 PISA results show that Indonesia's ranking for reading and mathematics literacy has increased by 5 ranks compared to before, while for scientific literacy it has increased by 6 ranks. This increase indicates good resilience or endurance in facing the COVID-19 pandemic. Quoting the official website of the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, its Minister Nadiem Anwar Makarim said that the ranking increase shows the resilience of the Indonesian education system in overcoming learning loss due to the pandemic. Nadiem Makarim added that one of the factors driving Indonesia's ranking in PISA 2022 was the teacher training provided by the ministry through the Merdeka Mengajar or Freedom to Teach platform, accompanied by online and hybrid learning materials. The increase in literacy rankings for readings, mathematics, and science is certainly a good news for the Indonesian education sector. The Curriculum Merdeka, or Curriculum of Freedom, launched by the Ministry in 2022 has proven to be successful. This curriculum gives educators the freedom to create quality learning according to students' needs and learning environment. Of course, this must be followed by an increase in teacher competence and creativity in teaching, so it can provide a fun learning process and empower students to explore. Therefore, in the future, Indonesia will be able to create its superior human resources. To make this happen, strong commitment and collaboration is needed from relevant stakeholders, such as teachers, school principals, education agencies, government, and of course, parents. And listeners, that was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
We begin today in history with December 6, 1917 as the Independence Day of Finland. Before obtaining its independence, Finland was an autonomous region of the Russian Empire, named the Grand Duchy of Finland from 1809 to 1917. Finland's declaration of independence was triggered by the Russian Revolution, which took place in February 1917. After the Russian Empire collapsed in October 1917, the Finnish Parliament declared Finland's independence on December 6, 1917. The Russian Soviet government finally recognized Finland's independence on January 4, 1918, ending the region's autonomous status, which had lasted for more than a century. Let's move on to December 6, 1992, which records the dark history of the destruction of the Babri Mosque by Hindu nationalists. The Babri Mosque, located in Ayodhya, Uttar Pradesh province, India, was built in 1528 by King Zahiruddin Muhammad Babri of the Mughal Empire. The dispute between Hindus and Muslims over the existence of the Babri Mosque has been going on for a long time. 150,000 Hindu nationalists finally destroyed the mosque on December 6, 1992. The actions of the Hindu nationalists caused major riots for several months and resulted in the deaths of 2,000 people on both sides, with the majority of victims from Muslims. We end today in history with December 6, 2017, when the United States recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. On December 6, 2017, the then President of the United States, Donald Trump, announced the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He also instructed the United States Embassy in Israel to move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Trump's decision was rejected by many world leaders. The United Nations Security Council held an emergency meeting on December 7, and 14 of the 15 members condemned U.S. President Donald Trump's decision. The United States Embassy in Jerusalem officially opened on May 14, 2018. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Sebagai yang tak kasat mata, tak dapat disentuh walau kau bisa menyentuhnya, tak dapat dirasa walau seluruh ragamu di sana. Dapat kau menjaganya tanpa harus mengurungnya. Bayangkan bila kau sebagai yang tak kasat mata, abu yang berterbangan tak dapat melukaimu. Panasnya surya bahkan membuatmu terbuai dan berlagu, dan kau dapat menyusupi rongga jiwa yang kosong. Yeah. Hidupmu bukan terisi dengan ajaran-ajaran. Melihat, mendengar dan merasakan nadanya yang terlantun dalam setiap nafas hidup manusia. Nafas hidup manusia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today highlights strengthening Indonesia and China strategic partnership industry ministry signs MOU on industry sector. Indonesia and China manufacturing cooperation will tighten bilateral relations and strengthen the two nations in facing great challenges in the future. That was stated by Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita in Jakarta on Monday. Minister Agus said the non-oil and gas industrial growth in quarter 3 2023 was 5.20%. The numbers show the Indonesian government's ability in maintaining the industry to keep growing positively and amid economic turmoil and challenges both externally and internally. Quoting Kemenperin.go.id, it was stated that in the ASEAN Summit on September 8, 2023, the Indonesian Ministry of Industry and Chinese Ministry of Industry and Information Technology had signed an MOU on industrial sector cooperation. The MOU showed the early commitment of the two countries to enhance the industrial sector while mutually benefiting each other. Indonesia and China agreed to keep exploring special cooperations in advanced industry cooperation. The scope for cooperation in the MOU includes automobile, lithium battery, semiconductor, bioprospective, pharmacy, and industrial technology development. Meanwhile, during the ASEAN-China summit in Cambodia, the upgrading ASEAN-China Free Trade Area 3.0 negotiation was agreed and launched. This forum agreed to ensure inclusivity, modernity, comprehensiveness, and mutual benefits, while aiming for a more meaningful and quality tariff liberalization. In the China-ASEAN Forum on Emerging Industries on July 4 to the 5, 2023 in Shenzhen, China, the Indonesian industry minister also had a bilateral meeting with the Chinese industry and information technology minister. The meeting discussed initiatives offered by China to strengthen cooperation on emerging industries, especially on Industry 4.0 and new energy vehicle, as well as cooperation on photovoltaic. About this offer, Indonesia welcomed what China had said, especially to strengthen cooperation in the industry sector. The Indonesian Ministry of Industry expected that in the future, Indonesia and China could join hands in supporting the ministerial meeting ASEAN and China on industry initiation to strengthen the region in facing bigger global challenges. That was my Indonesia.
Mimpi dan keinginan yang belum tercapai. sampai nanti, sampai bertemu lagi. Oh yeah.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to Semarang, Central Java, Indonesia, as the capital of Central Java. It's one of the tourism destination cities. Besides its culinary tourism, Semarang is famous for its tourist attractions that offer natural beauty. One of them is Umbul Sidomukti Tourism Spot, which offers many interesting choices of tourist activities. Umbul Sidomukti is a tourist facility owned by Siswono Yudo Husodo, which is situated in Sidomukti Jimbaran Village, Bandungan District, Semarang Regency, Central Java. From the downtown of Semarang to get to Umbul Sidomukti, it takes around 33 kilometers or about 1 hour's journey through the access of Jalan Raya Semarang Solo by motor vehicles. Quoting from its official website, Umbul Sidomukti has a real concept, namely recreation, education, adventure, and leisure. This place offers many recreational options ranging from ATV, paragliding, to other interesting tour package. This tourism destination, which is located at an altitude of 1,200 meters above sea level, offers beautiful views of Semarang Regency. Because it is located in the highlands, the surrounding air is very cool and comfortable, making it very suitable as a choice of place to relax. The icon of this tourist attraction is a swimming pool whose water flows from a natural spring, which is definitely cold and fresh. Many activities that can be done there are swimming, adrenaline rides, outbound activities, while enjoying the natural scenery. In addition, this spot also provides accommodation, playground, camping ground, and gathering facilities around the area. Besides, there is also a facility called Pondok Kopi Umbul Sidomukti, which offers a variety of coffee. For coffee lovers, in this place you can enjoy hot coffee while pampering your eyes with the cool view of the hills. Listener, the natural swimming park is another attraction that belongs to this tourism spot. Umbul Sidomukti has three terrace swimming pools with varying depths. The pool water comes from natural mountain springs, so it looks clear and refreshing. The position of the pool, which directly faces the back of Mount Ungaran, offers green views and Semarang County views seen from a height. Besides a swimming pool for adrenaline game fans, this spot provides a flying fox route that challenges your courage. This flying fox has a track length of 110 meters with a height of 70 meters. Another adrenaline challenging game you can explore at this spot is tandem paragliding. The duration in the air starts from 15 minutes to half an hour with a flying height of up to 1,700 meters above sea level and will land on the Sidomukti football field. Well, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
hanya sedap dipandang mata yang buat ku jatuh hati. Kau mau tahu apanya? Cintanya tak pernah dibagi-bagi, pertanda kasih yang setia. Hatinya jangan ditanya, rasanya sukar untuk didapat. Orang yang seperti dia di zaman seperti ini, aku pun mau jadi kekasihnya. Andaikah dia masih sendiri, ketika air matamu jangan pernah menetes di pipi. Ketika yang aku mau bahagia selalu datang untukmu, untukmu. Oh,
ada yang menyakitimu.
Oh, Kartika, bilang padaku apa yang kau inginkan.
Apabila ku mampu melakukannya,
pastikan ku indahkan.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Bari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is di Bandung, which means in Bandung. So, stay tuned. We're going to present to you a conversation entitled Jangan Mengebut, Jangan Mengebut, which means don't speed. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Annie, Chris' friend in a vlog community, when they will leave for Mount Tangkuban Perahu. Annie asked Chris not to speed when riding motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Chris, nanti jangan mengebut ya. Jalanan menuju kawah Gunung Tangkuban Perahu berkelok.
Apakah naik turun juga?
Tidak, dari sini menanjak terus.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Nanti, jangan mengebut ya. Nanti, jangan mengebut ya. Which means, don't speed, okay? Nanti, nanti, which means later. Jangan, jangan, which means don't. Mengebut, mengebut, which means speed. Jalanan, jalanan, which means road. Menuju, menuju, which means toward. Kawah, kawah, which means cave. Gunung Tangkuban Parahu, Gunung Tangkuban Parahu, which means Mount Tangkuban Parahu. Berkelok, berkelok, which means winding. Naik turun, naik turun, which means up and down. Menanjak, menanjak, which means going up. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, nanti jangan mengebut ya, nanti jangan mengebut ya, which means don't speed, okay? In the sentence, there is the word jangan, jangan, which means don't. It states a prohibition. To prohibit someone to do something, the word jangan can be followed by the prohibited activity, such as mengebut, mengebut, which means speed. Now let's listen to the other examples of using the word jangan to state a prohibition. Jangan membuang sampah sembarangan. Jangan membuang sampah sembarangan, which means don't litter. Jangan parkir di sini. Jangan parkir di sini, which means don't park here. Mount Tangkuban Parahu is one of the natural tourist attractions in Bandung Barat Regency and Subang Regency, West Java Province, Indonesia. The name Tangkuban Parahu comes from the Sundanese words, namely Tangkuban, which means face down, and Parahu, or boat. The word Tangkuban Parahu can be interpreted as an overturned boat. In a local legend, the boat supposedly belonged to a young man named Sangkuriang that was kicked until it capsized. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Chris, nanti jangan mengebut ya. Jalanan menuju kawah Gunung Tangkuban Perahu berkelok.
Apakah naik turun juga?
Tidak, dari sini menanjak terus.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Hancur hatiku mengenang di kau, jadi keping-keping setelah kau pergi. Tinggalkan kasih sayang yang pernah singgah antara kita. Masihkah ada sayang itu? Memang salahku yang tak pernah bisa meninggalkan dirinya untuk bersama kamu. Walau untuk terus bersama, kan ada hati kan terluka. Ku tahu kau tak mau. Sekali lagi jalan, tapi bila itu yang kau pikir yang terbaik untukmu, bahagiaku untuk dirimu. Sekali lagi maafkanlah karena meninggalkan dirinya untuk bersama kamu. Walau untuk terus bersama kan ada hati yang kan terluka. Aku tahu kau mau. Sekali lagi maafkanlah karena
Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's music corner presents a traditional song from Gayo Aceh, namely Tawar Sadenge. The Gayo area, Central Aceh Regency, is known for its world-famous coffee. Gayo also has other natural resources. The local people is required to protect its natural wealth. One of them is through the song Tawar Sadenge, which was created by Gayo artist A.R. Muse. The song is often sung at big day celebrations and flag ceremonies in Central Aceh Regency. The song lyrics invite the Gayo people to protect and cultivate their natural resources such as tusam or pine trees, coffee, and tobacco. All these natural resources are God's grace for the Gayo people, so they are invited to work hard to cultivate their natural wealth in order to become masters of their own country. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song from Gayo Aceh, entitled Tawar Sadenge by A.R. Muse. Happy listening!
Musik.
Indonesia.
Assalamualaikum. Hai Anu Nangro. Salam bak kamu.
Waalaikumsalam Allah
Hana hai kamu meh